Join Ian Garnack as we uncover the hidden marketing stories that shape our world, reveal the latest marketing tactics that will shape your future, and the amazing people that grow organizations, movements, and businesses. Learn to grow your business and shape the world around you. Welcome to the Garlic Marketing Show with Ian Garlic. And yes, it's Ian, not Ian. That's marketing too.
All right. On this Garlic Marketing Show, we're going to teach you why you hate selling, how to overcome that, how to start selling with dignity by the author of the book, Selling with Dignity, Harry Spate. Harry, say hi.
Hey, Ian.
And we're going to tell you all about the lie that sales is in numbers and why it's killing your consulting sales, why you need to narrow, why you shouldn't quit your day job before you're ready, and how to tell when you're ready to leave your full-time job, the three most important skills, and the one really good skill that you think you're good at, listening, and how to tell you if you're not, and how to develop the four-second listening skill, the problem with why you think you're a weak closer, and the real key to being a great closer, and the fact what all great salespeople do that can accelerate it. All this on the Garlic Marketing Show, but of course, this is brought to you by VideoCaseStory.com, one of the best tools in your sales toolbox, should be your tackle box. And we'll teach you all about how to use a video case story tackle box and more when you go to get the book, Video Testimonials That Land the Big Fish. You just go to videocasestory.com or look up Video Testimonial Book on Amazon. All right, let's get started. If you are a consultant, if you're selling 100K clients, I work with agencies all the time that they're like, oh, I've got $100,000 retainers, but I don't want to do the sales anymore. I'm like, you have the wrong mindset of what sales is, because really, and I think we should get into that, but in all the things that are wrong with selling, because people are being told all the wrong things, aren't they, Harry?
100%. And what you just said about I don't like selling is saying I don't like to have conversations with my friends. Who's like that?
Exactly. Because they're like, yeah. And how did we get to this point where people hate selling? Because some of the salespeople I know are some of the wealthiest non-business owners I know,
right?
But B, if you want to survive in this world, you have to have some sales skills at this point, don't you?
100%. You asked, how did we get to this point? I think it's a combination of events. Hollywood portrays sales as the Boiler Room, Wolf of Wall Street, Glengarry, Glen Ross. These movies all depict salespeople as money hungry, greedy individuals, and it's all about the close. Then we're bombarded by the scamming, by the connect and pitch on LinkedIn and social media. So it's everywhere, and people say, I don't want to be like that. And they think that's what you need to be like in order to be successful in sales. And it's just, as you well know, it's not quote unquote selling, it's serving, providing real value to people. And ultimately, they raise their hand, or you have a very soft ask that allows them to say yes painlessly.
It's one of those things I've worked on for so long, and it just becomes so obvious that because you just work people help people. It's like I want to get them to a point where it's stupid not to say yes. But I think so many people get caught up in this idea of all these other sales tactics. That's why they start to hate selling. So if I need to reset, if I'm like, I've never been a good salesperson, I'm a consultant, I'm an agency owner, I'm a lawyer, I'm not good at selling. Mm-hmm. And I hate sales, and I don't want it to be a numbers game. And I want to talk about the numbers game thing too. How do you reset your mindset?
Oh, simply go back to the beginning. I remind people that they've been selling since they came out of the womb. The first sale was, I need to be held and nursed. And then from then on, selling is very natural. As toddlers, we do it. We learn to work the room. We know what our parents, when they're in a good mood, when to ask for something. I apologize for my dogs. And then all through school, all through the jobs, job interviews, where we're trying to get a better spot in life. This is all selling, folks. It's not something that is unnatural. It's very natural. And if we just look at it as sales, as influence, that you're trying to influence someone's opinion, trying to sell yourself, I mean, that's pretty normal, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And really, okay, you start off, you're just coming from a point of helping. What about this numbers game? Because I hear this all the time too, that I just need a bigger list. And I go, you know, and people are afraid. Well, do you know they have a $100,000 offer, let's say, or a $50,000 service. I'm like, what are the top 100 people that you want to serve? And they're like, oh, we don't really know. We kind of start thinking about that. I'm like, because everyone's been told that they need all these numbers, which is true. Because it's like, do you need a big, huge list, or should you just go after 100 clients?
Yeah, I'm all about a list that you can manage, a group of people that you can reach out and have conversations with and develop relationships. If you're selling a high-ticket item, people are not going to buy that from strangers.
Nope.
Right? There has to be trust and relationship before they say yes to something like that. So the idea of huge lists and speaking to people once or twice, in my opinion, is not going to get it done. It's the consistency, multiple conversations, finding out what's important to them, serving those people, right? Where we're talking about how can you help those people other than you selling them something, which is often misunderstood. So this idea of huge numbers and touching people a little bit, to me, is great on a low ticket item. Facebook ads, you're selling something for $20, go at it. But a higher ticket, consultative selling, no, this is about relationships and trust, in my opinion. Some people can do it differently, but I don't play that game. And so I make it sales easy for people who are not the pushy, obnoxious type that's always the bull in proverbial China shop.
Yeah, no, I think there's that idea that's who it is. And we're talking about your process, but we go to sellingwithdignity.com. You've helped a lot of consultants. Tell me about some of your favorite success stories of how you've done this, and then we'll talk a little bit more about that process piece.
Yeah, I can think back of an individual who was in a one-call close business and his whole thing was, I'm going to stay here until they either kick me out or sign paperwork. And that does not work in a consultative sale. So when someone goes from the one call close, which is the always be closing, so this stuff works, you take that extreme and then to help that person to see the value in letting the conversation sink in. So if someone asks a question, the old school mentality, and it's still very prevalent, is they view the question as an objection. And so now the objection has to be overcome. And this is where people immediately respond with a quick response and say something along the lines, what do you mean my price is too high? Or what do you mean you're going to shop around? Everything is the way is to overcome it. In consultative selling or higher ticket selling, you want to be on the same side of the table as the person that you're serving. So instead of worrying about overcoming objections, you can say things like, that's interesting. I appreciate you sharing that with me, and letting it sink in. And now when you pause and let this sink in, you don't even need to overcome it sometimes. You can say things like, I'm going to think about that one for a little bit. Can I get back to you in the next couple of days? Because I'm not really sure I have a great answer. What you raised is a great viewpoint, a great question. I want to make sure I give you a great answer, and I just don't have it right now. That does not hurt your environment, the situation. That actually helps because you're showing the potential client that you're really giving this some thought and you're treating them like a human being versus a number.
Yes.
What's your thought on all of that, Ian, for you, the long answer?
No, since day one, I was in car sales. And like when I was a kid, because my dad was, and I never, just none of the stuff that they taught us worked for me. So I was just like, I just would help people. And I'm like, listen to them and help them. And I did pretty well just because I was genuine and helped people. And they're like, oh, this person wants to help me. And is not trying to close. So, but when I got into consultative sales, I actually told them, I will not sell you anything. My first meeting, I'm not going to sell you anything today. I might not sell you anything in the next meeting. Because I need to know more about you. I need to do some research. And it's, I think people are taken aback by that, but also your professionals. If you're in a service-based industry, the doctor isn't going to go, the doctor might say, oh, you have a cold, here's some medicine. But very rarely, if you have anything serious going on, are they going to go, oh, yeah, we need to amputate that arm. Let's do that right now.
Right. Surgery for you. I'm not sure what the symptoms really are, but I think surgery is a good answer.
No, and I agree with it so much. And even if someone does have a pain problem that's huge, maybe you can help them solve a little bit of it right now, but coming up with a better solution. Now, I do think about this stuff. And it's not a lie, because I'll wake up in the morning, I'll go to take a shower, and I'll be thinking about this person's like, oh, that's what I need to do. And it's great. And I think this mentality is so important. So tell me about a little bit, like, how do you take these consultants that hate sales, and what's the process to getting them to thrive and make a ton of money?
One of the things you mentioned earlier in our conversation was about the sales is a numbers game, and you talked about the big number. I think the key is, and you know this in marketing, is understand who you're best positioned to serve. For me, it's that middle-aged person that's leaving corporate, that's starting their consulting practice, knows nothing about selling. When I started my own consulting business, I said, everybody needs this. And when you try to serve everybody, you end up serving nobody. There's an old Russian saying, something along the lines of, if you're chasing two rabbits, you'll catch neither. So narrowing down who you're best positioned to serve is huge, because then you can talk to those people mm-hmm. and share stories that are relatable from one person or one client to another that are in the same space, so to speak. So understanding your ideal client first, and then a real simple thing is have conversations with those people. Find out what, I know, this is brilliant. This is right from MIT or Harvard Business School, but have conversations with your ideal client. You're laughing, Ian. I love it, because yes, I like to make sales very simple. And that will get you started finding out what they need. And then you can say things like, huh, I can help with that.
It's a fundamental, right? And Chris Lockhead, who's been on this a couple times, author of Category Design with his Category Pirates. In one of his books, he talks about this idea that the ultimate marketing skill is going to be spending time knowing your customer better and spending time with them as much as possible. Same thing with sales, right?
Yeah.
Spend as much time with the customer as possible. It's a fundamental. And I tell the story of Walt Disney all the time. Even when he was sick and dying, he was still walking the park and talking to people because he knew it was that important. Why do we not want to do that?
Because we don't think that those people are buying today. I think this is the people view this as a waste of time because they're not in the market today and they're not playing the long game. But these conversations will actually ignite needs and opportunities. So you're going to uncover stuff just by having those conversations. And I think this is sadly missed by a lot of people who are selling. They think, well, they're not in the market. I've got more important things to do. I got to go hit this list of 500 strangers and talk to them versus the repeat business and referral opportunities to come from nurturing your current clients.
Current clients and current prospects too, right?
Yeah.
I've had prospects for years. Literally, we were talking about my friend Marty before the show, Bad Rhino, who we helped grow their business. But it took him, I want to say, 4 years that we were friends. And I wasn't selling to him. I was just giving him little suggestions here and there, right? Yeah. And helping him out. So he's like, okay, I need you just to do this.
And, I love it. Four years. Did you ever feel like this was a waste of time, Ian, that you were helping out this person? Did you ever think, I'm doing a lot for free. This person should be paying me. Why am I spending so much time with them?
There's always that inkling, right? But over the years, I've built up, that's a great question, because I've built up that muscle. No, and it's who I am in the game, but it's the muscle of helping people, right? And going, I want to help. It's the Zig Ziglar quote comes back always. You can have anything you want in life as you help, if you just help enough people get what they want. Yep. And I firmly believe that. And sometimes I look at it as a gift, I'm like, it's a gift. It's a gift. If it comes back, that's great. But I don't think of it as I'm doing this. Now, I do have relationships where I'm like, it's a referral relationship. If you give me a referral, I'll give you money. Or if you want me to do this, I need X in place. Yes, I have those. But there's a lot of people that who are, if you know they're your ideal client, isn't it a lot easier to build up that relationship?
Exactly. And I love what you said, that this took 4 years. This, I think, is another big disconnect, is that people look at someone with results and they say, wow, this Ian is crushing it. Why am I not like him? And you could point to someone and say, this took 4 years. This one took 3 years. And it just, it does not happen overnight. And wherever the idea came, that starting a business is supposed to be done in a year or 2 years. And I was talking to a guy recently who was HVAC. He does duct work, cleaning duct work. And I said, how long have you been in business? He says, 21 years. I said, what were the first few years like? And he says, terrible. It wasn't the first few weeks. It wasn't the first few months. It was the first few years that he had to take odd jobs to pursue what his bigger mission was. And today you'll have people, no offense if that's your mission, but you stop earning money, go all in on a business idea, not having any clue about how to start a business, no clue about selling. And then 8 months later, they run out of money saying, I failed. So sometimes you have actors get jobs in restaurants or...
Exactly.
Yeah. Talk to me. What's your thought?
No, it's so true.
Yeah.
And it's like you're running out of runway. And because there's a lot of people saying you need to quit your 9-to-5 today,
yeah,
or you need to quit this thing today. And it's, if you have the backup, right, and you have the capability of doing it, and you know you can go sell, or you have a book of clients you're like you're going to go after, but if you have no idea where you're going to get your clients from, like that's, it's a good idea. I mean, I'm sure like a lot of these people that you're helping come out of corporate America, are you talking to them earlier on?
While they're still in corporate America?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because they want to lay the groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the groundwork is turning your job into a part-time gig or a fractional gig that you can still do some of the same things, still get some income, and then pursue the bigger mission. There's all kinds of ways of doing this, but just saying I've got 6 months of savings to live off of, that's going to get very stressful once you understand a pipeline and how long it takes for people to make a decision from the first conversation, maybe 4 years.
Yeah.
You may have others that might do it in 6 months, but very few people go from zero conversations to paid high-end client, high-ticket item inside of 3 months. That's pretty rare these days.
Rare. Yeah, very rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, that's the piece where the marketing comes in, is I feel like they get to know and trust you down the road. And I think this is another important thing too, is like, because a lot of people put out this thought leadership of you're going to get all these leads from your thought leadership. And it's like, no, it's just going to get them to know and trust. You still have to go through the sales process. No one's going to come in and go, I want this 50,000. Happens on occasion. I'll admit it. I've had clients come in like, yeah, I want $100,000 in services with you. Just where do I sign up? Nice. Now, it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
But it does happen. But you still need to have the sales process. And you still need to have the skills of listening. And so coming back to skills, we talked about fundamentals of listening to your customer. What are the 3 or 4 skills that everyone should be working through to sell with dignity?
Yeah. Number one is listening. It is such a understood word where we all say we're really good at it. Oh, I don't have a problem with listening. Think back at the number of times, if you're married, that your spouse said, you're not listening to me. That should tell you something. It told me something. I thought I had the listening down. But then when I hear people say, you're not listening to me, that's not good. That's an indicator. Then another simple thing is someone tells you their name. 30 seconds later, you're saying, I'm sorry, I forgot your name. I'm sorry, what was your name again? That's an indicator. I still go through the same thing, but yeah. I know I am working on listening. One of the books I've read, The Only Sales Book You'll Ever Need by Anthony Annarino, called with an I, but Annarino, he talks about after someone speaks, pause and see if you can count to four. Maybe it's three, count to four. That seems like an eternity for people who finish people's sentences, right? You take that person who says, I know what you're going to say, and they start finishing it versus stopping, counting to four, letting it sink in, showing the person that, hey, I'm understanding you now. Sometimes it may take up to 10. I've done it where I've counted up to 10 because I can tell the person is just very contemplative here. And this is a key to success. It's key to being a consultant. Talk to me. I see you nodding and smiling. Funny.
Oh, you know what? I've had some good people help me along the ways, but I was always bad about that. Like, my one sales manager would kick me under. If he was on a sales call with me, he would kick me under the table. Like, shut up. And it's true.
I've done it.
Yeah. We all do it. We all think we want to rush things along, and we don't want to listen. And it's so important, really listening, because and that's why, because you find they're real problems. And it's interesting. I don't know if you know that, like you encounter this, but I find what people say is their problem usually is like 2 or 3 minutes later, 2 or 3 parts of the conversation later is what their real problem is.
Right.
And it's they bury the headline. Yeah. Right. And they're like, I need more leads, blah, blah, blah. Every time someone talks to me, I'm too expensive. I'm like, that's your real problem. And it's not that you're too expensive.
Like in my case, it's I don't close enough business. I'm a weak closer. And I hear this frequently, and I'll tell people, it's like I never even knew how to close. I would have people ask me how to buy before I knew how to ask for the order. Eventually you can learn to ask, but that's not the issue. It's not closing. Number one, you may not have been in the sales process long enough. There may not be enough trust built. There may not be a big enough problem. They might not view your solution as the solution. There's all kinds of reasons. It's not closing. Closing sounds to me like you're not good at laying a guilt trip on people and using pressure to get them to buy. And that you shouldn't be good at that stuff. It's really, it's much deeper than that, as you said.
No, it's, and so what is the key to closing more business then? I know you said a few things, but is it developing a better offer? Is it listening more? Is it developing the skills? Is it just everything?
Well, there's a lot. You have to really analyze what's going through a person. What are they doing? Are they talking, number one? Are they talking to the right people? So if your closing ratios are lousy, then the first thing I would look at is who are we speaking to? What is the problem they have? Is what you're selling solving that issue or an issue that they have? And is that issue at the forefront? And if it's not, you can be the best closer in the world. If they don't see it as an issue that needs to be solved by you, there's nothing you can say. And that's really the key thing, is because even if you could maneuver your way, use pressure and guilt, and, you know, it's going away by the end of the day, those people are going to change their mind. They're not going to be happy. They're going to say, you know what, 2 days later, say, yeah, I changed my mind. Or, yeah, I'm not going to pay. Or not show up on call. You've seen it all.
Oh, that stuff happens even if they do need your service. But really, it's one of the things, it's like qualifying people really well and knowing you have the right solution for them and listening to their problems. And obviously you have a business. I want to know, tell me just about working with you. What's the process? What does it look like? So if anyone wants to talk to you, they can just go to harrychat.com, which I think is amazing. I think everyone's just going to go to harrychat.com and see what happens.
Go there. It's my calendar right now, but it's still a good spot.
To talk to you, but tell me about the tools and the mentorship, the things that people do for you or that you do for them to get them going and to get them into the point where they're really building up that sales pipeline, really closing things.
Okay. So what first thing is to have the conversation and find out what people need. And my goal on those very early conversations is to provide incredible value to the person, and they may not need me at this point, and that's okay. If I can solve a problem and you say, great, I'm going to say, cool. If you'd like to chat again, just let me know. Yep. Right? Or do you want to resurface in a couple of weeks and see how it goes? But it is zero pressure. But then as people work with me, it's all about going through these steps of the process, saying, where do we need help? And then focusing on that and actually doing the stuff that needs to get done. This is not theory, right? Mm-hmm. This is not stuff that you can just say, I'm going to read a book. I read the book. I know how to do it now and still not do it. It is what happened on this last call, right? When you spoke to somebody, what did you say? What did they say? And then what happened, right? What was on their face? This is the details that you need to understand, is that were they looking at you in the eyes or were they distracted? Were they anticipating where you were going, or do they feel like this was completely out of the norm? So there are ways that you know that you have experience, Ian, that most people don't get if they're not in sales. And people who have been in sales forever have had these conversations forever. So we can go into the gory details and find ways that we can turn something from not great to great, so that we can really bring to the fore what the person's challenges are and talk to them about that versus what you pitched again. You sold, you're trying to sell a product before it's time and it's all about you, and that's just not going to work. So let's go back and out how we can make this change. And it's role playing.
Yeah. Oh, that's
right.
So
what you're doing, yeah. you've got to build up the muscle memory in this stuff, because if you think about it and then you try it the first time on a live, I could do that selling full time. I could try stuff on a guinea pig, on a new prospect. I could try it all day long, because this was what I was doing every day, 5 days a week for years. You can't do that if you're not talking to enough people and then blow a nice opportunity because you want to practice something. That's not the place to practice. The mirror is the place to practice. Talk to me, Ian. What do you think?
No, I agree. You know, what I did, surprisingly, was videoed myself.
Yeah. Oh, shock. Yes.
Yeah.
How'd you look on camera? Was that okay?
No, it's tough. It got me accustomed to doing this. It got me accustomed to being on video. But also, you can really analyze yourself, and you can see that when you're doing a pitch, when you're doing a lot of these things, you look like you're pitching. Mm-hmm. And instead of just talking to the person and analyzing it, if every business needs sales, right? If you look at it like an athlete, your top performing salesperson should be the most highly paid person in your business. And because there's nothing happens without sales.
Right.
So if you want to be if you really want to do this and you're a consultant, you need to learn sales. And what do the best athletes do? They watch the tapes, right? They watch the tapes and they have a coach. And no matter what, they have several coaches. They have a performance coach. And that's why this stuff's so important. And I think I'm all about customer stories, video case stories. That's going to help you get more people. But if you have no sales process and no sales skills, we can get you all leads all day. You're not going to close them.
Exactly.
But the flip is true. I know lots of amazing salespeople who have zero collateral and just go out there and crush it. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. You make so many good points there. But it's the idea that you can be great at the most important aspect of your business, which is bringing in sales. Without the sales, there's no business. How can you be great at that without doing it every day, without making this your mission, by saying you're terrible at it, not having a coach, maybe occasionally reading a book or occasionally watching a YouTube video? You want to be great because there are people who are great competing against you. People that have come out of sales, who have lived it, breathed it. You want to compete with those people. And yes, competition, That's a whole nother topic. But in the reality of it all, you want to be really good at the craft of selling.
Yep.
And I can tell that you believe the same, Ian. So
it's, yeah. And I get very frustrated when people say, I don't want to do sales anymore. I'm like, the CEO of any business, a great CEO is going to tell you his number one job is sales.
Exactly.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Right? Number one job was sales. Walt Disney. Everyone said he was the best salesman that ever existed. That was really what he did. He went out and sold the ideas to get money. He went out and sold. You've got to be good at this if you really want to grow your business.
Exactly.
And you can do it without selling your soul, literally.
Right. True.
And provide value.
Yep.
And take people on, but you got to have a system. So you've got, we can go get the book, Selling with Dignity. There's available. Is it available on Amazon or is it just
it is.
Available? All right.
Yeah.
So Selling with Dignity. You've got a
and
podcast.
You have to put in the book, Selling with Dignity, the book. And then you can also find it on my website, sellingwithdignity.com.
All
and the
right.
podcast is Sales Made Easy. And Ian, we have to get you on Sales Made Easy sometime.
All right. I'm good at making them complicated. But I'd love to be on. But and the podcast is there. And if someone wants to connect with you, if they're looking for some sales coaching, and love what they hear here, which I think is amazing. It's really just about connecting with people, but learning how to do it the proper way. You go to harrychat.com.
Exactly.
And
we will have a complimentary conversation. And I will provide value for you, I promise.
Exactly. That is awesome. We'll put a link to all that in the show notes and your website. Harry, thank you so much for being on the Garlic Marketing Show.
This has been a blast. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you all for taking Harry and I on your journey. This has been Ian Garlic and the Garlic Marketing Show. Video. You know it'll make you an authority. You know it will get you more leads, better leads that close faster and spend more with you. And video stories will help you be remembered and connect with those perfect clients. The problem is, where do you start? Storycruise.com is the place to go. It's like a film crew with an S. What's your strategy? Do you do it yourself? Do you hire a videographer, an agency? Do you need an editor? How do you know if they really know your business and how to make videos for business that work? The answer to all of this and more can be found at storycruise.com. It is the place to find the latest video marketing strategies, the best gear for your business, as well as videographers, editors, and agencies near you that are trained in video storytelling for business. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get special insider info for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show, including special access to several of my courses, including my case story course. Go to storycruise.com/garlic to get a whole bunch of special offers just for listeners of the Garlic Marketing Show. Whether you're looking for a videographer or to do it yourself, go to storycruise.com/garlic to get started today.
That's it for the Garlic Marketing Show. If you want to get the inside scoop and the latest techniques, make sure to follow Ian Garlic on Facebook.